You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 426, Tales of the Legion of Superheroes, The Trial of Antir. And welcome to episode 426 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am almost done Christmas shopping, lad.
Woohoo! Love that.
Yes, but I went to put a new lock on the front door. Just wanted to change it over. The other one, it sticks, and it's a pain. So I went to do that. It didn't go well.
Oh, why?
It did not go well. It's just the bolt is, there's a bolt that isn't fitting properly, and it was a frustrating experience. So yeah. I have to go back to return one thing at Home Depot tomorrow and exchange another. And
fine.
Yeah. Fun. You know, because that's what you want to have to deal with over the holidays.
Of course.
Well, you know, because what you want to do is get yourself in a retail location more often than you need to.
Than normal.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. True. So it is not, you know, this was not the time for me to decide, that's a job I've been wanting to do for a while. I'm going to do it right now. Yeah. So I've learned my lesson.
Yeah. Now, why did you decide to do this at what could arguably be called winter in Canada?
Because because we're more likely to be cold while we're trying to get into the house. And yes, and today it could definitely be classed winter. There is some snow coming down.
Is there snow coming down?
There is indeed. So,
oh my.
Yeah. So yeah, it was I could probably waited a week or two. I'm just saying.
Yeah, understandable.
So basically I spent a couple of hours, you know, out looking for one and then trying to get it installed properly. And then had to reinstall the old one. So basically, I spent all that time so that I could be no further ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all been there on a project, haven't we? And it's like,
exactly, grr.
It's like, really? Really? Really?
Exactly. But I got to watch, Bizarro Lego Heroes with the kids today. So I know that. Sweet. I know that's not actually the title. But we sat and watched that today, and that was a lot of fun. So,
wow,
it's cool. All good. All good, as they say. Over to you, sir.
Well, I am Darren Noel, and tonight I am dehydrated, dude.
Uh-oh.
I had my annual holiday party last night, and I hit my bed around 4 a.m. Yeah. And because my body is not sensitive to the fact that I need 8 hours of sleep, I woke up promptly at 8 a.m. And I knew if I napped today, I would be in trouble. Because if you nap, of course, you're not going to be able to go to sleep when you need. So I have pulled an all-dayer, as I like to call it. And, I've been mainlining water and trying to stay ahead of the pain.
There you go.
It's what I've been trying to do. So, you know. It is what it is, sir.
Indeed. As well as can be expected, they say.
Exactly.
Cool.
But it was nice. It was a fun party. Things happen. We can't talk about it on the podcast, but things happen. So it was good. People had reindeer hats on. And not much else. So there you go. So it was good.
Excellent.
Indeed.
All right, I'm trying to think if there is any Legion news, and
I have not seen any, but I've not looked today. So.
No, and I also don't think that there was even. I don't think Supergirl was on this past week. So.
No, it was a repeat.
Yeah. Right.
I
remember right.
Someone getting angry about that online. It's like, why is it a repeat? And they're like, it was the mid-season finale. Oh, that's why. Everyone's used to watching everything at one time on Netflix. So
yeah, exactly. And so anyway, so I was hoping that there would be some more Mon-El stuff going on, but not as yet.
Alas and alack, sir.
Indeed. indeed, and it doesn't look like comicbook.com speculating on whether or not the Legion is going to show up in Supergirl.
And how Legion's going to be coming back in the comics.
Speculation just based on the DC All Access video that we spoke about last week.
We talked about last week, exactly. It's like,
Yeah.
We were ahead of the news curve there by like a day. I'm proud of us.
Look at us. Yeah, exactly. We are fundamentally a...
The only time it's happened in what? How many years?
Exactly. However, having said that, there was talk about the Legion, you know, and the whole showing up in... in Batman, and how they've been conspicuous. So this is from CapeCrusades.com. Legion has been conspicuously absent since the start of DC's Rebirth, but they are a superhero team of the future, so they might not even play to the events of Rebirth, right? Well, actually, it's far from the truth. Of course, they mention Saturn Girl being discovered, being seen in DC Rebirth number 1 and in Batman number 9. Writer Tom King talked about how the Dark Knight is not only directly tied into the overall Rebirth storyline, but how he connects to the Legion of Superheroes as well. And hey, if you're connected to Batman, that always bodes well for you.
True. Means you can sell a book.
Yeah, so he says there's this huge spine running up the back of the DC universe, and Batman ties directly into it, and it is plotted out to 2019 and even beyond that. Whoa. King told CBR in a recent interview. He says, I was just in New York with Scott Snyder, Josh Williamson, and Steve Orlando, and James Tynion, and Peter Tomasi, so all of the people. And we planned out where this is going to go and make sure that we're caught up with it. And yes, that Legion of Superheroes story does play out in Batman.
Mm.
We saw one of the pieces in Batman number 9 with Saturn Girl, who was also in DC Universe Rebirth number 1, and plays a role in the story going forward, King continued, explaining that Legion's future is part of his Batman plans. We know he's a Legion fan.
Yeah, we do, because yeah. We've talked to him,
exactly.
Mr. Tom King previously.
She says she's in Gotham City, and she is in Arkham Asylum. We'll see what that means both to her and the Legion. And as we wrap up I Am Suicide in Batman number 13, that's also the launch for Justice League versus Suicide Squad. That whole event, which has been planned for a long time, spins out of the events that happened in Batman number 3 when Batman first engages Amanda Waller about the threats in the city. So you're seeing a very long-term story spin out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what's going on there. So this is in there, but that sounds like they are planning to play a long game on this stuff. So
yeah,
hopefully the Legion's in the earlier part of that game.
I would think so. Hopefully they're just not stalling.
Yeah,
you know, some of this feels like breadcrumbs, and some of it feels like we've not forgotten about them. You know, like Wally West and Stephanie Brown.
Yeah.
don't publish anything within them for 3 years and people will forget about them. No, they didn't. So
yeah.
You know. Hopefully we'll get somewhere soon. So
yeah. And you know what? I think also it part of it comes out to a you know, we know he's a Legion fan. It's like, well, if I can't write the book, maybe I can throw them into the book that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And maybe. That I always admire. All right. So we're gonna get into, now that we've finished the Baxter run, we're going to go back before the Baxter run.
This is actually
A book that was caused by the Baxter run, for lack of a better term. And that is, of course, the renaming of the Volume 2 Legion of Superheroes series, which ran from, from issue...
Superboy number 1.
there is that. But technically... Legion Volume 2 kind of starts with
I think it's 259.
259, really.
Okay.
Because the other one is Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, and we've talked to death about the indicia on that. So this one became much like Teen Titans when it went Baxter. You know what they say, once you go Baxter, you never go back.
It's true. No. It's true.
Clang-a-lang-a-lang.
Merry Christmas, Alan. Now I'm going to get yelled at. Hang on. Cool Kwanzaa, Alan. There, that's better.
There you go.
I have no idea. Happy Hanukkah.
You just like dug us in so much deeper. We were fine.
It's what I do. It's what I do. I don't have a cold, people. I don't have a cold, I promise.
There you have it.
No medication.
All right. So, so this ran basically issue 314 through 325. Some stuff that basically supported what was going on in the other book. And some of it came back to play out in other parts of the Baxter run.
Well, it continued after 325. It was just reprinting the Baxter run at that point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, as they did with Tales of the Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. After a certain, you know, that was the series where Gar finally got to confront Deathstroke over the whole Terra thing.
The whole Terra thing, yeah.
But you know, that was
some really bad stories in there. The exception being the wedding of Donna Troy, I think. But
yeah, yeah, technically that was a Tales, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a Tales, yeah. Number 50.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was, didn't it change to Tales with the Judas contract?
Yes, you're right, so yeah.
That story, and then there was a great story with Aqualad and Aquagirl in there, and then it kind of went bleh.
Yeah.
Except for the Donna Troy thing, for me at least.
And then a whole big pile of steaming crap, yeah.
Yeah. So this was the technique that DC was using to train us comic book goers in the day who would hit our local magic markets, convenience store, whatever, to get our comics, to find a comic book store.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could only get the Baxters at the comic book store.
Exactly. So, yeah. So we start this off with a cover by Larry Malstedt that is inked by Dick Giordano. We're not accustomed to seeing Malstedt pencils, save for like the issue 300 cover. This is the last time I really remember. I'm sure he's done other since and before, but anyway. And so the cover has Maissa looking in a crystal ball, and she sees Brainy and Sunboy and Supergirl fighting against Antir, who's of course trouble.
Yeah, remember Antir? We got him with the Emerald Empress storyline, in which these three Legionnaires, along with Violet and Colossal Boy,
yeah,
were being held captive on Weber's world.
Yeah, exactly. So,
there's the backstory on this, which this is kind of a sequel to that story in a way.
Right, and you know, that story was really about 11 issues ago, so it comes back after a year. So yes, we've got Antir of Sauron basically being accused of high treason, and he in fact pleads not only guilty, but as ordered. He says guilty as charged and as ordered. And so the book is written by Levitz, and actually he and Giffen co-plotted the story. Giffen is listed as the designer, as opposed to, you know, it's an interesting distinction between layouts. But as we learned when we were talking to Arnie the other week, the credits are
credits.
Yeah. And they're barely worth the paper on which they're printed. Terry Shoemaker is the penciler, and Carl Kiesel is the inker.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting name to note as letterer, one Adam Kubert.
Zubit?
Yeah.
Zubit?
And then we've yes, that Kubert.
There is no other Kubert.
Apparently not. Carl Gafford is the colorist, and Karen Berger is the editor. And so this is, what was it, cover date?
I think it was 84, I believe.
Yeah, August 84. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. All right, so we've just been in such a later era of the 80s with the
Yeah, this stuff, is pre-crisis.
Yes, yeah, obviously, yes.
There's a headband wearing miniskirt girl in here who's from Krypton, so there's that.
Yeah, so he says that his orders were to infiltrate the Dark Circle for the science police, and so in doing that, he assisted the Circle in the invasion of Weber's world. With the aid of the Emerald Empress, and is this the prosecutor? Is this guy the prosecutor? Yeah. Okay. So he's saying how this is absurd, and the guy and the judge says unusual, yes; absurd, no. Plea accepted, and he says, then may we have a fuller explanation from the defendant. And he says, certainly. He says, well, and he says, I submit this formally encoded plea. And they accept it with reservations. And he says, surely, Captain, you don't believe that anything but orders would make me harm my friends, the Legionnaires.
Uh-huh, right.
If this oven was on, I wouldn't put my friend Muggsy in there, would I?
You might, Rabbit. Exactly. You might.
So he says, surely, Captain, you don't believe that anything but orders would make me harm my friends, the Legionnaires? And they say, friends, us. And Brainy, you know, like, Supergirl and Sunboy are shocked by this. And Brainy's like, okay, let's reason this out. Antier's no fool. Mad as this seems, there must be some logic to it. And
Doubtful.
Yeah.
Very, very doubtful.
Yeah, and so he says, you know, I'd swear a colossal boy saved my life when Antier tried to kill me. And she says, Antier got us into that trap. And they say,
and I guess we should specify why Colossal Boy and Violet aren't here, since they were part of the original story. Violet wasn't Violet.
Yeah.
Violet was Yura. And Colossal Boy and Yura are still getting used to the idea, at least Colossal Boy is, being married to a Durlan. And, of course, the original Violet is just now getting out of her sense tank, required medical leave at this point. So
yeah, so that had happened. That happened.
Three Legionnaires are here.
Yeah, sort of. So, I mean, that
would be relevant here anyway because it wasn't her. So
yeah, exactly. So he says, to counter this outrageous plea, may I present our first witness? And Brady's like, this should be fascinating. And it turns out it is Chief Kimball Zendak, Science Police Commander for the Earth and the Central Data Banks. Mm-hmm. So he shows up and he says, no such orders exist in our data bank, Your Honor. He says, my former colleague is lying, Judge Maz. If I could, I'd hang him myself.
Wow.
Well, put him on the jury.
Please.
And he says, Antier says, so, such is the justice our corps is reduced to, that I must decline to participate further. And he clicks something in his throat, and
click.
Everyone's freaking out, and they say, who knows, but he's moving for the walls. Why? We're in the middle of UP space. He's got no... And there's an earth-shattering Kathoom. Mm-hmm.
Take one, please, for the team.
Says, that thing's coming right through the side of the planet. Someone watch on tier. I'll use my force shield to protect these people, says Brainy. And Supergirl grabs the jewelry box and pulls all those people out. And Sunboy starts throwing flames at...
Because that's what Johnny Storm does.
Yeah, he does. Flame on.
Flame on, baby.
Yeah, starts throwing stuff at Antier, and he says, I thought we were your friends. And he says, so I said, son boy, but even friends may say farewell.
He's such a slimy little villain, isn't he?
Yeah, son boy gets, zapped at, and he says, want to play opposing forces? Sure, try mine. I'll give you enough heat to melt an asteroid. See? And he does, and, it only does so much.
It got rid of the gun, but that's about it.
Yeah, so they get Antier's out of there, and Brady says, quite amazing. They picked Antier up and left, and we simply stood here watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. Yes. So back to Earth, ceremonial capital of the United Planets. It recently addressed continuing ecological imbalances with the erection of a polymer screen around the globe. Primary benefits include preservation of relatively unspoiled areas, including portions of Africa untouched by nuclear wars. This all coming from Encyclopedia Galactica.
Yeah, so in this is DC, not Marvel, because Marvel has, you know, Wakanda. That's they would be involved in a nuclear war, I'm pretty convinced. Oh, yeah.
So it is... this is Invisible Kid visiting family, and his friend Francine says, "It is truly delightful to see Danielle well again, Jacques." And he says, "Oui, Francine. When I first brought Danielle to Brainiac 5 for treatment, I had not thought it would take this many months to find a cure, nor that I would find myself becoming a Legionnaire." And so she says, "Hush, Jacques, this is Danielle's moment." And she says, "Francine's going to take good care of me." And he says, "I know you will be fine together, sisters."
And not a friend.
Not a friend. That's right. That's right. I'd forgotten that. So he leaves them and he says, "Now to see if I'm still to have a place in the Legion since the original Invisible Kid has returned."
Ah, remember that? The winning prophet. Shudder. Thanks for this subplot, everybody.
Yeah. So they're saying, "What is that gizmo, Brainy?" And it's a modification of the force shield principle. It'll hold the planet together till they can fix it. "First, I want all this holographed as evidence." And then he says, "If Antir's disappearance is an admission of guilt, I've never seen one." And Relnik says, "That may be as it may, Commander. I doubt we'll ever know the truth. The officer that Antir claims endorsed his scheme is a Dark Circle captive, which could be part of his plan." He says, "Exactly, Ambassador Relnik. Frankly, I don't care if..." And they say, "Excuse me, gentlemen, this is Supergirl, but we care. Ambassador, please let Element Lad know that we're going to bring Antir back." And off she goes, flying, carrying the two male Legionnaires, and Brainy says, "A bit hasty, isn't this, Kara?" And she says, "I know I'm only a reserve member these days, but I'd like to see Antir get justice, whatever that means in his case." So, okay, he says, "Granted, but he's been very much on our side or against us in two cases. But this is a long trip to take for intellectual curiosity, even from my perspective." And some boy says, "Go easy, Brainy. I think this impulsiveness is cute." And he goes to pinch her cheek like you do.
On the face. The face, people. Stop it.
Yeah, not right. Not right. So, Sunboy. "I know, Supergirl. Hands off. Can't blame a guy for trying, though."
Actually, you kind of can.
Yeah.
You kind of can in this instance. Keep in mind, they were putting Supergirl in this comic more and more because, hey, she's got her own title right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie either just is about to come out, or we're very close to it. Because they had not made the decision yet to kill her in Crisis.
That's right.
Because we're still about 2 years off from that.
And so then her movie flopped.
Yeah. That much did it.
Yeah, so we get to the Metropolis spaceport, and we see Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl. Or sorry, no. Garth and Imra. No more Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl for a while. So it is just the two of them and the baby-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Garth, I just picked up the oddest thought, even without focusing my telepathy. Something about smuggling." And Lightning Lad says, "Well, I think I see the source, but I don't want to advertise our presence, so we get tied up in red tape." Says the guy who's wearing the blue outfit with the little lightning bolt in the...
"I wonder how they ever know my secret identity."
Yeah. Hmm. So he says, "Let's do it the subtle way." Yes, buffo job so far, sir. And he crackles the suitcase of the smuggler and it falls out and thump. And the science police are like, "Hey, excuse me, sir." He says, "Now, Imra, shall we enjoy our anonymity?" And she thinks that's pretty amusing.
Of course she does. Because all 9-month pregnant women are amused by the simplest of tricks.
Yeah.
She should be complaining about how bloated she is and how she can't walk properly and how hot it is. all that stuff.
Yeah. So we get into the Citadel of the Dark Circle, and Antir is standing in front of the council, and they say, "I had not thought to see you face the circle again, Antir." He says, "It seemed timely to return, Golgoth. It has been a score of years since I left." and said, yes, you left a spy on the United Planets, we thought. For long years, we did not talk. Then you addressed us suddenly, and now you are claiming to have worked with the Circle only to betray us.
Mm.
And he says, you said I should be silent until it was safe, until I knew their secrets. Even through the so-called Earth War, when you invaded, I waited quietly until you might need me. Finally, I persuaded the United Planets to assign me to infiltrate you, a perfect cover for our talks. And you ordered me to do anything to maintain my secret. And they say, outrageous! How are we to know the truth? He would say this whichever side he was on.
It's true.
And then a little something comes on the trouble alert. And, my lords, look, the Legionnaires are entering our space. And he says, they have not done this since our agents killed a Legionnaire. And that was, of course...
Chemical King.
Yes. And he says,
and that's been a while now.
So. Yeah, well, about 10 years at this stage. It is only three of them still that they should care, and even though there are only three, see what damage they do to our border patrols. Yes, because they are taking no crap from anyone. So most curious, says the Dark Circle guy. Why are they coming for you, Antir? Only revenge for one of their own has ever brought them here before. Does that mean you serve them in truth, or do they even know? And he's like, he's kind of just... Yeah.
He's very hissy for a salamander.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, I guess, is he supposed to be a snake?
Something like that, yeah.
He's like somewhere in the middle. He's definitely reptilian, I would say.
Yeah, undoubtedly, yes. All right, so so the Legionnaires are, cutting through everything, and there's another C'thum. Take a drink.
Take one. Woo-hoo!
These border patrols are pretty well whipped. Brainy, I say we head for the planet where their council meets, and Supergirl agrees, and Brainy says that does seem like the logical place for Antir to be, some boy, and he says, Kara, I'm still not sure you should have taken us on this mission, but you do make it look easy. And she says, Brainy, I gotta tell you, I love letting loose with my powers this way. I love being back with the Legion, and you know how I feel about you. Aww.
Boom, boom, chicka, bow, bow, yeah. Chicka, bow. And that's just a beautiful page right there.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Jacques is returning to headquarters, and he says, I wonder how he feels about me. Or does he even comprehend that the serum he discovered gave me my powers, yeah. Eh?
Sir, you're forgetting something about Jacques. He doesn't talk in French when he's thinking.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Except he does in the next panel. Oh, my God. He has broken it. We have one French word in the next panel. Oh,
see,
my gosh.
It's over now. He says, but then how can he understand me? I do not understand. But then how can he understand me? I do not understand him. A certain moment. The Legionnaires thought him dead, buried. Then I found him in a dimension beyond reality from which he somehow returned impossibly. And there he is, sitting in there watching the video of Validus killing him.
Like you do.
Yeah. And then he says, Monsieur, it is I, Jacques Falcard.
And that's not Validus. That's Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl's kid.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So he says, go away. Lyle does. He says, have you decided to take your place in the Legion again? I offer it to you. And he says, there is no me. I'm dead. A ghost. Ghosts aren't Legionnaires. Ghosts aren't anything. See? Watch Validus kill me. And he says, you do not look dead. And you look rather healthy. Merely depressed. And he says, please go away. I don't want to be a Legionnaire again. I don't want to be alive again. And he's, ah, oh, pauvre monsieur. No, go away. No, go away. You can't help me. And so off he goes, and Invisible Kid says, not when all I want is to finally rest in peace.
Hmm.
The next, Judgment.
Oh no, not Judgment. That's horrible.
Yeah, so we in the letters column, we get a little sort of update as to why Tales of the Legion, why a new artist. And they explain the whole Baxter run thing. And And they say basically, you know, if you like what we're doing, you can buy 2 Legion comics a month for the next 12 months and have twice the fun. Or if you don't think the offset format is worth the extra price, stick with Tales only, and you'll eventually get all the stories anyhow.
Mm-hmm. You will.
Well, to a certain point.
Until Tales gets canceled. So.
Yeah, exactly. It did not last the full run of the Baxter.
No, it
didn't. Either way, we renew our promise to both that both LSH books will feature the best work we could possibly do. Everyone on the team, including spanking new penciler Terry Shoemaker and inker Carl Kiesel, both will be profiled next issue. Ooh, nice. Mm. Is deeply committed to taking you to the stars. Stick with us. The best really is yet to come. Yeah. And so next there is a backup story, so perhaps you could take us through that.
I will be happy to, sir. We have Tales of the Legion of Superheroes, A Witch Shall Be Born. Writer, plotter, artist in absentia, Paul Levitz and Keith Giffen, in that order. George Tuska and Carl Kiesel are the guest artists. John Costanza, letterer, Carl Gafford, colorist, Karen Berger, editor. And we see Block doing what Block does. He's sitting in the archive tape room, and he has decided to investigate his crush, basically.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Misa on the board, and it says, "Breep, archive tape 312, historical data of the White Witch, breep," which makes me wonder if this was supposed to be in issue 312, and they delayed it. I don't know. And Block says, "I wonder why it's taken months for the witch to supply this tape. No matter, how delightful to learn she has finally provided it. It will give me the opportunity to comprehend her innermost secrets now that I am recovering from my injuries suffered during Omen and Prophet.
Yeah.
Perhaps I shall discover what bonds her to Dream Girl, for little as I understand humans, it seems most peculiar that sisters should be so dissimilar." And, of course, they are.
Yeah.
"Perhaps it would be better if I sealed the archive room before I begin the viewing. I can hear Timberwolf now. Block, you pebble brain dope. I thought you were only interested in Legion history. No, that teasing I can do without. My motive is pure curiosity, is it not? Very well, Data Bank. Begin tape." And here Block looks like a regular human for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
With rocky injuries. He's definitely shrunk in stature.
Yeah.
In this story. "Breep, proceeding. Naltor, one of the United Planet's most advanced worlds. It has a rich technology and heritage. Since joining the Federation slightly over a century ago, Naltor's citizens have acquired a substantial share of the galaxy's wealth. In part because of the unique ability of Naltorians to foresee the future to a limited extent, an ability that forms the basis for one of the most vigorous stock and commodity markets in the UP. Due credit should also be given to the stability of the planet, which many believe arises from the matrilineal structure of society on Naltor. Mothers head all families, and inheritances pass solely through the female line, with males left to what some would say is their proper, limited role." "Since leaving Naltor..." And this is the White Witch speaking, by the way. "Since leaving Naltor, I have learned to take a broader view of men's potential, I admit. Nonetheless, it was certainly my good fortune to be born to one of the best families on Naltor. My mother, Kiwa, was the High Seer of Naltor in my childhood, leader of the planet for her superior ability to foresee events. Yet my unforeseen birth brought great happiness to her and to my older sister, Nura." Goo is what she says.
Yes.
So Nura's older... And I would say Nura is at least 4 to 5 years older based upon this panel here.
Yeah, definitely.
And great unhappiness as well. And we see the High Seer of Naltor talking to some of the other members of the Naltor High Council, I guess. "Stranger prophecies abound, Kiwa. The people are worried. Why have you not come forward to show them your new child? I am sorry, Marin. I have been preoccupied. My child has been born without the gift of prophecy. To you, of all people, what a pity. Surely her ability will develop as she grows. No, I think not. The little one will never have Cassandra's blessing. I know that as surely as I see that Nura will see even further than I when she comes of age." And for those of you who don't know, Cassandra is frequently brought up when you have a precog character. She is a character from, I believe, Greek myth or Greek plays.
Yeah.
In which she is the prophetess, and she comes in and tells people exactly what's going to happen. And, of course, everyone mocks her and sends her on her way. And all the characters wind up you know, basically fulfilling the prophecy to its horrifying end. So that's what a Cassandra basically is. Mysa continues, that, put simply, was the curse of my life. Not only was I daughter of the High Seer and blind to the future, but my elder sister was born with enough prophetic power to spare. If she could, she would have given it to me. And there's Nura and Mysa right there, in, I guess, precog class. Yeah. Come on, Mysa. I can't. I can't see it. But life was not so convenient. Excellent work, Nura. You're going to be our star pupil. Of course, she was. And Mysa says, I turned inward, questing after knowledge no one else truly cared about. Mother, how did we get this way? Did everyone on Naltor always have the power to see the future? Oh no, dear. They'll teach you the whole history in school eventually. I'd like to know now, Mother. It's very important to me. All right. It's a simple story, actually. Our ancestors settled Naltor after they left a planet called the Sorcerer's World, which was full of wizards and magic. But after a few generations on Naltor, all the magic faded away. All that was left was the ability to see little glimpses of tomorrow or next month. And we fast forward. That's my most precious memory of my mother, her telling me that story. It is also one of my last memories of her. Her work as High Seer was draining, and she aged rapidly. Soon she no longer resembled the young woman who bore me. And then she was gone, and Kiwa apparently suffered some kind of a stroke, it looks like.
Yeah.
And she's gone. The only event she could not foresee was the moment of her own death, for no Naltorian ever has. And we see Mysa's reaction, Mother! We get the impression that Mysa discovers the High Seer's body. And there she is with Nura. She's gone, Nura, Mother's gone. And Dream Girl says, I know, Mysa, but don't worry, little one. I'll take care of you, I promise. And Block says, how terrible. I never realized how unexpected death could be for young humans. What a burden. Block, you're an old softy. Who? Oh, Phantom Girl. Of course, you came through the wall, did you not? I'm sorry, Block. Was the doorway keyed shut? Yeah, she was doing that way back when.
Yeah.
Just bursting into people's rooms, going, hey, who's in bed with you, Shady? Oh, that racist. Okay. I was looking for a tape to check something. Besides, don't... Block says, I, never mind. Or Phantom Girl says, never mind. You go back to your dusty history tapes and I won't tell a soul. Don't be embarrassed. I thought you were cute. You sentimental old stone face, you. hang on a second. My guided view on Comixology has gone wonky. There you go. We fast forward to the High Seer's funeral. The pyre burned for a week, as befit the High Seer. Her acolyte Beren saw to it. And, of course, Beren takes over as High Seer, which is interesting that we would have a male High Seer, given that Naltor is empowered mostly by matrilineal lineage. Mm-hmm. So now it has come to this. Kiwa is dead, and I am High Seer. And Dream Girl says, I know you didn't want it this way, Beren. I was quite fond of your mother, Nura. I may miss her even more than you do. Then will you do me a favor in her name, Beren? Let me be your student? Gladly, my child. I see a great destiny ahead for one of your talent. Why, if you apply yourself, you might become High Seer yourself in time, if you dedicate yourself to our art. I don't know what I want to be yet, Beren, but I know I have to be strong to take care of Mysa. My sister will need my help, won't she? Well, and Mysa yells, no, I heard you, but I don't need your help. What? I'm leaving Naltor. Here I'm a cripple, handicapped because I'm missing a sense you all have. And I'm going to go back to the Sorcerer's World, the place our people came from. Our family has always had great power, and if I've been denied it, well, maybe, just maybe, I've been given something else to balance the score. I'll bet you I find my own kind of magic. I will. And Beren laughs and says, you may not have prophecy, child, but you have courage. Very well, if the sorcerers will take you, you shall go, and with my blessings. And if my sight is not being fogged by your presumption, there may even be great things ahead for you, Mysa, for you are surely your mother's daughter.
Yes. Thus,
thank you, Beren. And then two guys over in the corner is like, do you think he means it, or is he simply humoring the girl? He wouldn't really send a 10-year-old alone to the Sorcerer's World, would he? And so I left Naltor, and we see Dream Girl waving goodbye with both hands. And Block says, most peculiar, I thought it took humans far longer to mature. How could the child have known herself so well? Curious, when no one on Altor apparently practiced any magic. She was convinced she could grow to become the White Witch. Perhaps I will never understand human beings. And Block pulls on the door, and the door handle comes off in his hand. Crunch. Pop, and it turns into a flower. What? Perhaps you won't, Block. I shouldn't really do that voice because I haven't been doing it the whole time, but you know.
Yes.
But only if you continue to refuse to ask. We're not terribly complicated, and there's Mysa. Witch? But how? Never mind how, Block. You know a magician never reveals her secrets. But perhaps you'd enjoy it if I told you the rest of my story personally? Ooh, to be continued. Bom chicka pow pow chicka pow.
Oh my.
I know, right? And that's that.
There we go.
So we have about 12 of these or 11 of these more to do. There's no annual. It's covered in the Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Supervillains War.
Right.
As part of the Curse storyline. So, but you will discover that after next issue, I believe, we will not be seeing Element Lad, Phantom Girl, Ultra Boy, Chameleon Boy, and Shrinking Violet in this series at all, because they are presumed missing.
Right.
In the other book. So.
Yeah. So there's a few things where we'll have to kind of, you know, again, to sort of check us to the parallel timeline of the other book. Yeah.
Which that gets complicated, and it also gets a little, whoops, we made a mistake. So.
Well, there was some stuff that seemed to be moving a little bit quicker here that was kind of slow. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Usual ebbs and flows of comic book time.
Oh, totally, totally. Obviously, when you have a three-part story, you know, you've got to kind of, where does that story go into? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good times, though.
Exactly. All right. So
good legion times.
So that is the first of the tales. So we're going to do a run through tales, and then we'll figure out what we're doing next. But there's going to be other stuff in between there, too. So we shall all see.
Woohoo!
That's right. All right. So comments, as always, are welcome. Legion of Substitute Podcasts at gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we will see you all next week.
Tales of the Legion!